Praise God. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. Hallelujah. All right. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. Praise God. Awesome Hallelujah. Verses. We'll talk about it here in a moment. And the title of my message is, God Really Is Up to Something. God really is up to something. It may not look like it right this moment, what you've been through and what you might be going through, but just know if you're a child of God, He's got you in His hands. He's got you covered. He's gone before you. He's right beside you, and no reason for us to fret and worry. He's got it under control. Amen? Hallelujah. That's because you're a child of God, and you're in covenant with Him. And the Lord changed my message. I was going to speak on the covenant, but He said, save it for the first day of the new year, first Sunday. So next Sunday, I'm going to speak about our covenant that we have with Almighty God. Need to be reminded of that as we go in through the year. But today, we're going to talk about the river. And I loved it when I saw the songs that were planned, and it was just right on. So thank you, Sister North, for that. God really is up to something. Well, one of the most beautiful scenes of the Bible is described in these two verses of Revelation. John was given a vision of the great river of life that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And this crystal clear river begins from the throne and then flows throughout the New Jerusalem to provide healing and life for all who live on its shores. The green grass, the beautiful flowers, the trees and meadows along its banks can only be seen in the minds and the hearts of man for the very present. But one day, guess what? One day soon, I believe we will all see it just as John described it. What a day that will be when we get to see heaven's glorious scenes for the first time. All the troubles, all the trials of life will pass into nothingness when we see Jesus face to face. I want to see Jesus face to face. I don't want to just be here and just hoping I'm going to make it and, I got to make it, you know. I love what one pastor said. He had that vision of being in heaven, and he saw this guy over here. You know, the angel was taking him and showing him different things, and all of the apostles, and he saw this one little guy had just made it to heaven, and he was down on the ground kissing the ground. I made it, you know. Well, we're gonna be happy. We're gonna be joyful that we made it. Amen. And many of our loved ones are already there.
Yes, amen.
We're going to see our loved ones, y'all. And so we are given many pictures and symbolisms of the water of life that comes from this river. Today I want to take a few moments and I want to try to stir your soul and take a look at this river of living water. One of the greatest pictures of the power of that river is given to us in Ezekiel. Chapter 47, in the first five verses. A very familiar story if you have been in church for any length of time. It says, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and he led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters to the loins. And afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. Everybody say, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Now, Ezekiel has been down to the Valley of Dry Bones, which we know represented the dead spirituality of Israel as a nation. And these dry bones also stand for every man who ever lived who did not have that life-giving flow of God in their lives. And so when God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? He was asking a question for where they're was only one answer if we were to answer in the power and ability of a man. And the answer would have been no. But in the power of the life-giving river of God, these bones could not only live, but they could become a mighty nation and able to do great things. And when we look a little further over into the New Testament, we see Jesus as he's waiting for the woman at the well who heard the words of Jesus. Listen to what he said in John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. As the waters of that river flow, there is much that it will do to those who will step into its water and wade out just a little bit deeper each day. Ezekiel saw the waters then as they were only ankle deep as Jesus began to lead him into the unseen depths of the river. Understand with me that every person then that receives salvation and becomes a Christian who we know is a follower of Christ steps into that river. Every person that receives salvation and becomes a Christian steps into the water, and they then have the opportunity to explore the things of God. As Christians mature then in Christ and their relationship grows, they begin to wade out a little farther from the shore and a little farther until finally they are lost then in the love of Jesus Christ, and they learn, Sister North, to live by faith. But sadly, guess what? Too many choose not to go out into the deep water of relationship with the Lord Jesus because it requires, watch this, it requires a commitment of faith to believe that Jesus' power will keep them afloat. How many know a lot of Christians are bound by fear and they can't walk in that faith? Because you see, as long as they're ankle deep, as long as they're knee deep, or as long as they're waist deep, their feet are still touching the ground and they're still in control.
That's right.
And guess what? That doesn't require faith. Brother Springer, you know as well as I, a lot of pastors don't want to lose control. And in these scriptures, in the book of Ezekiel, we see how that Jesus has taken the prophet Ezekiel to the house of God, the temple, and has revealed to him then the source of the river that will flow out upon a dry and thirsty land to provide life for it, for all it touches. The water came out of the right side of the house and it flowed from the south side of the altar. Watch this. We see then how it is a wonderful type and shadow picture or of the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from his side on Calvary. The blood that began as a trickle then began to flow that reached down and began to flow out from beneath the cross, which was his altar of sacrifice, to go down to the earth and flow over souls of a sin-darkened and lost world. Listen now, every provision for man's need is met in the precious blood of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. He's got everything that we need. Hallelujah. As the river of life begins its journey through the heart of man, there is so much that it does for us. So quickly this morning, real quick, I want us just to look at some of those benefits. I have three of them. First of all, the river brings life. Thank you, Jesus. Again, John 4:14 says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Those who choose then to be washed in the blood of the Lamb by repenting of their sins and accepting the sacrifice that Jesus made and then surrender their lives to him, watch this, will have this same well of living water springing up from within their own heart. Why is this so? Because Jesus Christ is the source of that river, and he dwells in the heart of every believer to provide the ability to reach out to other people and have them washed in the blood also. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay ankle deep. I don't want to stay waist deep. I want waters to swim in. Amen. I told this story to someone yesterday or whatever. In early days, Brandon was small. I don't know if you were there, Brandon. You may have been. It was Mark and Matt there. And it may have been you. But they, you know, they fell in the water. There we were camping out on the river. The church, the men of the church had all gone to the Brazos River. We were all camping out that night. And I think it was Matt and Brandon. It was you. Both of them had got into the water, and it was running, but it was shallow where we were at, but that was a little sandbar that was right under the water, so it was shallow there, but that water was running, and right on the other side, there was just a space almost to the bank that was deep, and so Pastor Meredith jumped in, and I know he saved Matt, but I don't know if he grabbed Brandon too, but thank the Lord that he did, or they would have gone down that way. You know, but the next morning in trying to fish, we were out there walking on that sandbar. And what happened, I made the mistake of lifting my feet up off of the sandbar. And whoo, there I went. And luckily I had a long pole and was next to the bank. And one of the men grabbed the pole and pulled me over to the bank. So, but you can see what happens in a good way when you take your feet up off and lose control. Off of that sandbar, I'm telling you, the Lord will take you into deep waters. And that's a good thing. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit within each of us is the manifestation then of that river of living waters. As He speaks through us and leads us and teaches us every day of our lives, we have to be listening, Brandon. We have to be listening to Him. And He'll lead us. He won't lead us wrong. He'll lead us in the right path. And not only then does the river bring life, but the river satisfies. Can you say that? The river satisfies. Here's what the psalmist wrote. Psalm 63, the first five verses. O God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee. It's awesome about getting up early. There's something about that. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and that glory, so as have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul, what's our soul? That's our mind, will, and emotions. So my soul, my mind, will, and emotions shall be what? Satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David knew what it was to need God's forgiveness. He knew what it was to need God's blessings. He had failed God so many times, and yet David's heart longed for the peace and the forgiveness that only the river of God could bring. He knew where to go to. How many know we live in a dry and thirsty land? Yes, amen. We do.
Yes, we do.
Life in this desolate and sin-darkened world is hard, and we must forever be on guard now more than ever against the power of sin. Listen, as it tries to invade our heart, it will try, the devil will try, and bring the sentence then of death upon us again and again and again. He will try. And what happens, if we open a door to something, he's going to come in. And so that's why it's so important that, Lord, I want, help me to keep that door closed. I don't want to open that door to him. Listen, if the door is closed, he's going to quit trying to come in. He'll go do another way. So I believe you'll agree, if it were not for the power of the blood of the Lamb and that constant flow of the river of God upon us, what chance would any of us have? But we have a promise of God's help, just as David did. David wrote another song unto the Lord that we have in Psalms 46, verses 4 and 5. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make thee glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Listen, here's a promise that we have then. God will not allow the power of sin to overcome us, but will come quickly to our aid to deliver us from any temptation. Did you hear what I just said? God will not allow the power of sin to overcome us, but will come quickly to our aid to deliver us from any temptation. He promised us, watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptations taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. That's all we heard this morning about His faithfulness. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, or to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He'll do it, but you got to stay in the river. Look at someone, you got to stay in the river. Listen now, the river of God that begins at the very throne of God and of the Lamb, that then comes out from the foot of Calvary's cross, listen, gives us the power to overcome. Would you say that with me? The power to overcome. It gives us power to be satisfied by the Spirit of God. Would you say that with me? The power to be satisfied by the Spirit of God. In every circumstance, would you say that? In every circumstance, each and every day of our lives, not just some circumstances, not just some situations, but in everything that arises in our lives. But you've got to stay in the flow. Not only does the river of God bring life, and not only does the river satisfy our souls, the river of God cleanses us. Every day around the world, we see people as they use water to wash everything around them. We know that water has a cleansing power that is beneficial to all of us. How many know it's good to take a bath sometime? Take a shower. Amen. Amen. We've been around sweet little folks, good little folks, and oh my goodness, they needed some water. They needed water bad. Water has a cleansing power that is beneficial to all of us. But the cleansing power of the river of God goes far deeper than that of any natural water. Can you say amen? Amen. How many know the water from your tap can only cleanse the outside? And guess what? It can make us look good. It helps us to smell good too. Amen. But the living water from the river of God reaches down into the very heart of man and washes away the stain and the death of sin. There's an old song that says, there is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Sin's stains are washed in its life-giving flow. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. I was reminded recently about a painting that was seen at a museum in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And it showed just a portion of what the life-giving flow is all about. In that painting, the blood of Jesus Christ flows from His side as He's hanging up on that cross of Calvary. And that blood becomes a giant wave of His cleansing and His keeping power as it washes away or washes across the pages of history. And this painting is specifically designed to picture America from its foundation to modern times. But the blood of Jesus, as the river of God has actually flowed throughout the entire history of man. Every event, watch this, every event, every war, every birth, and every death has been affected by the blood. The river has washed upon the shore of every nation and every life. The blood of Jesus is given that all men can experience then its cleansing power. And many can quote John 3:16, but here's what it says: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, listen, means any and all people can come to Jesus because there is no limit. Would you say there's no limit? To the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Jesus willingly poured out His blood so that we could all experience the cleansing power of the river of God. And just as we have seen then in the vision of John of the river in heaven and that of Ezekiel, the river of God is an unending and ever-renewing source. Can you say amen? Amen. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, 59:1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Can I tell you this morning that the great I Am of eternity is omnipotent in His power, meaning He's all-powerful to hear and to save and to cleanse us from sin. The great I Am has given Himself to purchase forgiveness and victory over death for each and every one of us and everybody watching online, even in a delayed time. And then the river of God is always increasing then in the affairs of men. Jesus did not come and die for only a few. Listen, it is God's will that all men should be saved and that none should perish. Did you hear what I said? And so the early church began as a trickle of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon men. Only 120 then were gathered in the upper room on that day of Pentecost as the Holy Ghost came upon them like a mighty rushing wind. And then those 120 began, Brother Tony, began a revival that is continuing to grow throughout the church age. Along came then the age of the Reformation, and greater truth was revealed through men like Martin Luther and others. And the great revival then that began with only a few began to spread throughout the world, giving birth to what is known as Protestantism or Christianity. And the revelation of truth then, of living by faith and salvation by faith in the mercy and grace of God. The river of God then continued to flow and would not allow then the message of the gospel to die with a pagan church that relied then on works more than the faith of God. Down through history, the river has continued its journey. The blood of the Lamb has never lost its power, and it never will. Can I say that again? The blood of the Lamb has never lost its power, and it never will. At Azusa Street in California, another great revival broke forth because men were seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that revival is still going forth today. great ministries were born from this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And on then the river flows. The bride of Christ, known as the church, that's people like you and me, will not be stopped because the river of God is flowing stronger today than ever before. Around the world, people are being saved this very hour. And the river flows onward. And it's being said now that in the darkest corners of the Middle East, there's a revival that has been ignited that's unprecedented in the history of world missions. There are Christians in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Iran by the thousands. So let me share quickly this article I read. It says, God is up to something. That's where I got my title. God is up to something. Reliable reports are suggesting that more Muslims have committed to follow Christ in the last 10 years than in the last 15 centuries of Islam. In spite of great difficulty and turmoil, Christianity is unquestionably expanding throughout Islamic world in regions that many have thought unreachable. Hallelujah. The head of one major Jordanian ministry believes there may be as many as 50,000 believers in that country. Almost every Islamic nation, again, has been experiencing a significant upsurge of Christianity over the last 10 years. In the nation of Morocco and Kazakhstan and Lebanon, it has been claimed that thousands of Muslims have become truly born-again followers of Jesus Christ. And it's reported there were no Muslim background Christians in Syria 50 years ago. But today in this war-torn country, there has been 4,000 and 5,000 born-again believers in that country, and they say the number is growing. Someone asked, why is Christianity finally growing in the Middle East? Here's one reason. Throughout the Mediterranean world, there's a high regard for dreams. And they comprehend them the same way that individuals during the early biblical period did. Islam, in particular, places a great value on visions. And it's noted that dreams are a part then of the reality of their world. Muhammad listened to dreams, and he gave Muslims the impression that God could speak to them through dreams and visions. So there is a testimony then that Almighty God is using dreams to manifest Himself to the Muslim world. And many are believing and becoming and coming to Jesus Christ. Today there are amazing accounts then of God breaking through to Muslims. And about one out of every three Muslim background believers has had a dream or vision prior to their salvation experience. I still got an hour. No, I don't really. I'm okay. I can look at my watch now. See, I got a watch for Christmas, y'all. And so when Brandon preaches, I can do this, Brother Springer, so I can do that. So, all right. Many Middle Eastern Christians publicly acknowledge the fact that dreams actively facilitated them coming into a saving knowledge of Jesus. And one former Muslim, now Christian pastor, said he had an encounter that forever shifted the course of his life. He said it looked like a figure made up with light, solid yet transparent. It was an experience like no other. He said, the peace I felt from this presence was so powerful, so aggressive. And he introduced himself to me and said, I'm Jesus. Your life is not your own. And he said, the next morning, my life changed forever. So in the season then that we are in, I want you to know that Jesus is doing amazing things in the midst of every tribe and every tongue. I love the word Brandon used. There's epic. There's going to be some things epic that's going to happen. The church will not go out of this age as some emaciated, weak, and dying ember. Can you say amen? The church is the bride of Christ, and we will go out with a blaze and a blaze of glory. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's not a picture then of a church that is sitting around doing nothing and waiting to be delivered.
That's right.
Amen. That's a picture of the church as it stands under the mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it defies the God of this world and steps out into the territory of the devil himself to bring the message of the gospel to anyone and everyone who will hear. Satan cannot stop the river of God as it moves on. Can you say amen? Satan and the Antichrist are destined to be washed away by its cleansing power. And the river of God cannot be stopped. Why is that? Because it is a flood of God's power to cleanse the world. So the question for all of us here this morning is this: has the river washed you clean? Have you made a step into the water of His love? How far have you gotten? Or have you walked into the river? There's only one limiting factor in the power of this river of God to cleanse. Watch this. And that limiting factor is this. It's your own will. God is a perfect gentleman, Brother Springer, and He will never force His will upon any man. So it's up to us. Would you say it's up to us? To accept His gentle offer and wade out into the river just as the prophet Ezekiel had to do. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God wants to let the river flow in your heart and in your life today. Would you open the doors of your heart? Ruth, would you come? Would you open the doors of your heart and let the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb begin to wash over you? Swim into the water of the river of God. Experience the great salvation and peace that Jesus offers to everyone that says yes. Let me just ask, will you say yes today? How many know we have to be renewed daily and be washed by His Word on a daily basis? So He's calling us to go deeper. He's calling us to go deeper. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to stay in the shallows. This next year, He's calling us to deeper waters, Brandon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is that verse? He says, those that go and do business in deep waters, they will see the secrets of what the Lord has.
Yes, God. Yes,
Jesus God. Is getting His bride ready. And we, the church, are His bride. You don't have to live a life of shame. You don't have to live a life of guilt. You don't have to live a life of condemnation and worry and fear. Jesus came to set every one of us free. And we of all people should realize that we can walk in peace. And we can walk in calmness. We can walk in victory. We can walk in protection. We can overcome and thrive and not just survive in this life. He's not called us to settle. We're not settlers. He's called us to occupy until He comes. And so if you're still hurting inside because of the past, let Him begin to heal you today. He can do it in a moment, or He can begin that process to heal you. Don't enter 2022 with emotional baggage weighing you down. Let Him heal the hurts of people's words that have been spoken over you. Allow Him to touch your lips to begin speaking positive things over your life. Quit speaking what the doctors have diagnosed over you. Well, they said, I have this and this and this. And no. That's the facts, but the truth says that we are healed. Yes, we're going to have those symptoms. They're going to come, but we can stand up to it. He can do it, and He'll do it, but you have to desire to be changed. It's your choice to choose life. Philippians 1 and 6, here's what Paul writes. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. Until the day of Christ. Well, what is Paul saying right here? He's saying there is no doubt in his mind that God will finish what He started in us right up to when Jesus does come back for us. And guess what? He's coming back, Sister North. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be ready? And guess what? This next year, we still have a work to do till He comes. It is not time to head to the hills, as Brandon said, and hide ourselves. It's time to shine like never before and be that city set up on a hill, and then bring as many people as we can to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can we do it? Yes, we can. All right, we're going to receive communion again this morning. Brandon, Garen, would you come? Let's take this. Brother Tony, would you come? Brother Clint, would you help Brother Tony there? We're going to stay seated as we receive it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just, yeah, on that other end, just pass it from right down. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Randa da 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 mashanda da 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 basata. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I've said before on previous Sundays, this is a joyful thing today. Yes, we examine ourselves as the Scripture says. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Take time, just examine your heart right now before we take it. Just examine your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Andoranana masanda. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. If you've been with us on previous Sundays, we talked about that verse that says those that don't take it unworthily. Open that top for me. As I said, Paul was talking to those who would come together and share a meal, and they would just eat and eat and eat till they were throwing up and drinking till they got drunk. And after that, then they would decide they were going to, it was time for communion. He was talking to them. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. But in the next verse, it's to us. He said, examine yourself. Make sure there's nothing there. I want the river of God to wash me clean. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Tony, would you take your Bible here just a minute? We've been, more than ever, you've got to stand on Psalm 91. I want him just to read three verses. Brandon, would you get him the microphone real quick? Get him the microphone over there. Psalm 91, verses 9, 10, and 11. Real quick, just those three verses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right. Take your time there. It's all right. Psalm 91, verses 9, 10, and 11. Go ahead and read it there.
Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Everybody say, all your ways. All your ways. Now, I've adopted a saying, I'm not going to give the devil credit for anything. When a loved one passes, and yes, they've dealt with issues in their life. My sweet wife dealt with health issues. But she was ready to go home. And so the Lord, he said, okay, come on home. But I'm not going to give the devil any credit. Amen. COVID didn't take them. Don't give that thing any credit whatsoever. Guess what? The Lord, he takes mighty men. He has not taken, I don't mean that in a bad way, but he says it's time to come home. And he's done that to mighty men of the gospel this last 2 or 3 years. And yes, they dealt, it came their way. And it attached themselves. But they had many of them had other underlying conditions. That was there. But we give God all the glory because he knows better than we. And sometimes he has a different plan. It's time to go a different way, do a different thing. But as we found out today, we're going to see our loved ones again. Amen. We're going to see our loved ones again. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for what he's done. Becca, did you want to share anything? Okay, you just ended there. Okay, that's all right. Stay right there. Hallelujah. 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 Let me come on down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you open that? Open that for me. All right. Awesome. All right. Do you have the bread today? We're going to partake of it. Hallelujah. This represents his body that was broken for us. Hallelujah. He bore our iniquities and our transgressions for us. So Lord, we thank you, and we're doing this in remembrance of you today. I thank you today. I thank you for your love, your goodness to us, your mercy to us. We know that we would not be here today if it wasn't for your love and your mercy and your grace. So we thank you for that today. And we're remembering what you did on Calvary and your body being broken. Let's partake of the bread. Hallelujah. Sorry about the taste. I'll see if they got cinnamon next time, if we can order. It's kind of, hallelujah. Again, as I've said, it could be a solemn, this is a solemn thing, but it's also a joyous thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
People have received healing while taking communion. Yes. Expect the Lord to do something in your body today.
Yes.
Rejoice.
Amen.
In what he's done for you today. Lord, I thank you that I can stand here and rejoice in you. No matter the symptoms, no matter what's going on in my body. And I believe that you're doing something in each one of our bodies. You see those things in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you now in remembrance of you. We're going to partake of this cup representing your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation today. And so we're taking this remembrance of you. Let's partake of the cup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Put your little cup down and let's worship him. Hallelujah, with a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you that you're working in our bodies right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for complete healing. I thank you for complete healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more thing. We're not through. But if you would you get the little basket? Where's our little basket? It might be that we can put our little cups in, is all I'm saying. I think there's one back there. Just bring it here. And Andrew, if you'll take that basket. I'd like for us to gather up here up front real quick before we leave. Brother and sister Springer, would you come stand beside me? I'd like everybody. Let's just come up front here real quick because we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Brandon and Amber, if you'll come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just stand here with me. There we go. Hallelujah. Thank you.